Welkom bij de SEOcast in samenwerking met de SEO Brein Community. Ik ben Jeroen Stikkelorum, een community builder.
Ik ben Martijn Hoving.
Ik ben Dennis Akkerman.
En vandaag en morgen gaan we jou het verhaal van Brighton SEO naar thuis brengen.
Veel luisterplezier.
Good afternoon. Or is it just it's just the morning, Dennis?
It's afternoon in the Netherlands.
It's afternoon in the Netherlands. So for the live watchers, good afternoon for England. Good morning. It's the 16th interview we did in 2 days.
Wow.
We had some great interviews. But this guest is really special. It's Lazarina, or Zara, right?
Zara, yeah.
I was trying to meet her for a couple of years because she do some crazy stuff that's really valuable also for the Dutch community, but I think the entire international SEO community. I won't introduce her, but she's really smart. She knows a lot about machine learning and make it accessible for everybody. I do some promotion. Join the machine learning
ML for SEO
community, right?
MLforSEO.com.
Yeah. I will drop a link in the comments. That's fancy nowadays. But welcome, Lazarina. Great
you.
To have you. Great introduce to yourself you. To the community, please.
Yeah, so I'm Lazarina. I have two sides of me. The one side is the SEO that digs into AI, machine learning, and automations. I've been doing this for the past, I don't even know how many years. My background is in marketing and machine learning and AI. So as soon as this new wave hit, I was already in a good position to kind of take advantage of that. And I think my mission would be to make it accessible to people, discover it quickly, easy, know where to get started, know how to avoid pitfalls, and that's what we do with ML4SEO. We create courses, we make information accessible, we just onboarded our first team member as well, which is super exciting. Yes, so more and more growth will be happening. Courses in development with course contributors as well, because I'm not the only person that understands AI and machine learning and how to implement it in marketing. So that's the one part of me. The other part is I run a community for women in marketing in Bulgaria. We organize events that are focused not only on SEO, but also on all aspects of digital marketing. And it's still baby stages, but
cool.
It's amazing for specifically female marketers in the country to have a place to connect and learn. So last year we organized about 10 events. This year we're again organizing 10 because I had a daughter, so I had to be out of the game for a while. But back at it now. So yeah, the two sides of me.
Cool.
Which
beautiful.
One do you want to discuss first?
Both. Yeah. And maybe we discover a third side from you.
I know.
You never know.
You never know.
So machine learning for SEO. Help us out.
Why do we have to understand machine learning for SEO?
Yeah,
maybe
so
that's a good question.
Let's start with the difference between AI and machine learning. So AI is the hype train.
Yeah.
So everyone's on it now. Like everyone's an expert, which is great. Like we love inclusivity, right? Like no problem. But machine learning is, has been integrated into our industry for ages. I mean, it's a subset of AI. It's related to making predictions, training your own models, being able to incorporate them to better an outcome of a system, which is, again, like very much related to AI, very much related to like the new wave of Gen AI that we're seeing. But it's more about like automating processes, improving the results, the outcomes, improving predictability, doing forecasting, basically becoming like a superpower version of an SEO or a marketer even. It's not just SEOs that can benefit from this. But ML4SEO as a platform is not that much focused on, you know, what you see on LinkedIn. Like, here are 10 chat prompts that you can use for ChatGPT. Like, we don't do that.
You dive deeper.
We dive much deeper. We do specialized courses. I'll give you a couple of examples. We have one on keyword research, for instance, how to incorporate semantics into it. Semantics is a subset of natural language processing. So understanding how Google processes text, understanding why it's important for you to understand how Google processes text, how text can be processed, and how to extract the meaning and insight of the text that users type in the search prompt, the text that exists on your content, on your website, the text that exists on your competitors' websites, on social media, on transcripts, all the text out there, right? Extract meaning from it, improve your strategy. That's essentially the gist of it. Another course that we have in development with the amazing, super talented Beatrice Gamba, which is head of innovation at Wordlift, is about agentic
from,
SEO.
Andrea.
I'm sorry?
Yes, Andrea.
Exactly.
I visit their office.
Andrea's right hand.
Yeah. He's a good guy.
Yeah, she's obviously like learning from the best, right? So she is developing a course for us for agentic SEO and understanding, first of all, what it is, why it's important to optimize search for agents as well as users, what kind of concepts do you need, like entities and knowledge graphs, ontologies, so on, protocols that you need and different things. And also the practical strategies of how to implement this. We're also working on a course for YouTube automation and how to do this scalably, sustainably, and authentically, but also taking advantage of the recent AI tools that are out there, like synthetic personas. Where should you use them for? What should you not use them for? Like how to avoid your brand being associated with brain rot and so on. So exciting times. Definitely, I think there is a need for a platform that is, first of all, accessible, built by marketers and SEOs, but is also not giving you hype. Like, we're not bullshitting people. I'm sorry. I hope that's okay to say.
Yeah, of course. We are Dutch.
We're not really bullshitting people on what AI can do. We're giving them the good, the bad, and the ugly, and we're giving them practical frameworks and processes to do it better. And we're transparent about, where the technology is at, what you can do with, an API, what you can do with training your own model, what you can do with ChatGPT, and, comparing all of these wherever we can to make it easier for people after watching a course or a video or academy lesson or whatever it is to really decide where to get started from and just make their job easier, hopefully.
I think it's very valuable to learn that, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, because we are mostly reading the top 10 tips to... But now you understand the method and why you have to understand it. So great job.
Thank you.
It's so much of this stuff is so new.
Yeah.
That exactly. It's difficult to find right sources of information.
Yeah. To be honest, I'm having a really hard time with doing the strategy for our academy, for myself as well in this AI era. I've been very silent, not only because of the baby, mostly, but still. Because I feel very overwhelmed and I understand, the technology and, it is new, but it's just so overwhelming to see all of these different perspectives. And especially if you can kind of, sift through some of these viewpoints and see, what is maybe correct, what is maybe not so incorrect and needs a little bit of refining and development. And so it's encouraging to see people want to see that type of content and that information, but it's also a challenge for me to understand how can we not overwhelm people further with more AI content and with more automation, do this and do that and you're going to be even better and so on. So yeah, it's a difficult act to balance, I think.
Yeah. So you said something interesting, like we have a course about how you can improve sites for agentic SEO.
Yeah, it's currently in
development. And of course, it's that's also something that's quite new. Can you maybe teach us a bit about how we do that?
I can't because I'm not developing the course.
Oh, it's sorry. Okay. I thought it was your course.
Let us know once it's finished.
Yes, there is
a model. So you're basically saying I should buy the course.
Yes. We'll make sure that we have a pre-order somewhere. Okay, cool. And I'll let you know once it's live. It will be released until the end of the year. I don't know where when the podcast will be released, but yeah.
Yep. The podcast is live now.
Live.
So
We're live streaming in the community.
So definitely check it out until the end of the year. You have time. Okay. Perfect Christmas present for an SEO, right?
Okay. Cool. So let's talk about the other side.
Yeah.
I've been in Sofia once.
Nice.
Went by train from Istanbul to Sofia. It was a hell of a trip, but I survived.
I don't know. if it was with the Bulgarian trees, I don't know how you survived. Hopefully, it was
there was no food, no drinks. Yeah. It was hot. It was terrible. Yeah. And for like 3 hours, they put us somewhere on a train rail and didn't say anything. And after 3 hours, they start driving again. And we were, what the fuck is happening?
But you survived.
But I survived and I joined Sofia. So you organize meetups in Sofia.
Yeah, we organize meetups all around Bulgaria. Yep. So because the community is about marketers, not only SEOs and so on, but also not only about people from Sofia, people throughout the country. So we have different types of events. We do networking dinners, which is the most intimate event that we offer. It's 20 people in attendance, 2 lecturers. We try to focus on soft skills and development, you know, topics that you wouldn't really see discussed at conferences. No slides, just discussions and like a file prepared. We also do webinars with international guests, and we do like casual networking meetups in different locations in the country, like fun events like yoga in the park, whatever you name it, we have it. And we have like our mini conference, which is the flagship biggest event that we run, which is about 50 people in attendance this year. That's in Sofia, 21st of November. I should know this by heart, but you know. Anyway. It's about content marketing and social media in the AI era this year. We have international lectures and so on. So, yeah, fun times. Lots of events happening with that community, to be honest. But, yeah.
And what's the hardest part for you?
About running the community?
Yeah.
So, I was very naive when I started this, to be honest, because I thought... Let me backtrack a bit. We have time, right?
We have time.
I'll be quick. So I've been speaking at conferences for a very long time, at least in my eyes, from the very start of my career. And I always spoke and developed my career abroad. And I was happy to see conferences like Women in Tech SEO's WTS Fest, where it's like an entirely... women event, and contrast this to the vibe of Brighton SEO, for instance, or events in the US. So when I first had my conference in Bulgaria, the vibes were very different. I was there as a speaker. I had one of the most technical topics that you could have on the panel and the lecture and so on. But you know, it was still very challenging for me to kind of feel validated, and I had a you know, interesting experience, so to say, to clash with my own culture as someone who has been developing career abroad. And so the idea started with just creating a space where, you know, women can actually share at the same way that Women in Tech SEO started like 5-10 years ago and kind of changed the industry from within. So I thought the hardest part would be just kind of organizing, running the community, getting into, you know, the habit of doing all of these things. But the hardest part is actually getting, you know, people to recognize this vision from outside joining in. So I don't know if you can relate to this, but definitely having people discover the community and getting the first step into joining it, that would be the hardest part, I think. Once they're there, they want to help, they want to grow, they want to, you know... They see the value in it, they see the difference, but because they have been conditioned to believe that, oh, this is just yet another conference, this is just yet another networking event, it's a little bit harder for people to kind of take that first step.
Yeah, and to anticipate as well, I think the sign-up in my community is really easy, it's free, and the brand is growing, but what you see then is that people are first a little bit anxious. They're looking, what are the unwritten rules and how can I apply? Is this something for me? But then at a certain moment, and it can be when they get a valuable answer from another community member, or they visit a meetup and they met cool other SEOs, that can be a moment of a catalyzer for change. And then they become more engaged. And when they become more engaged, then you have a new valuable community member.
Absolutely.
And then you can build.
Exactly. So it's like I said, the challenge has been scaling. The challenge has been, you know, doing that. But just to say, we certainly see like the interest. I have so many people from this community helping with either helping with the posts or let me just write a newsletter. Or like you said, giving an example before we started recording, just, you know, how can we make another new type of event? Why don't we go run in the park or whatever else it is? So it's been growing so much and it's so satisfying to see. I think my naivety was in the fact that you open a community and then people just come running straight to it. It's just, yeah, it takes time, but it's just a super gratifying experience. Definitely the most gratifying thing that I've done in my career. And it's great that it's entirely like volunteer based. You know, we're doing this for the community, and you know, to have that space for whoever needs it, right? So yeah,
cool. It is the reason why I quit my job, so I know how it feels. Yeah.
Good for you.
It was a hobby project for like 8 years or so.
Yeah.
And then I thought, I was a marketer before at the company, and then I thought, it makes me so happy.
Yeah.
Let's see how I can make my job out of it, but the right way, what I shared with you. So it's still, I don't want to promote my own community, but
do it.
My vision is that it needs to be accessible for everybody. I don't want to make money on the shoulders from somebody else. But by the end, you need money to build a house. I don't know where did this start. Sorry, I forgot the question in the conversation. But financially, it was very difficult because people first need to see the value, needs to believe in it, that it can make change for a lot of different target audience. So for a junior or a media SEO specialist, it's an active and engagement community that you get answers. But for freelancers, it's maybe job opportunities or the network events.
Yeah.
But first they need to visit your meetup or get a valuable answer.
Exactly, yeah.
And then at a certain amount, costs you a lot of time to come at a certain point and they see it's valuable and it's
but
growing.
Once the ball starts rolling, people discover you and they know, they immediately associate this with, you know, whatever your values are for the community.
And then hopefully I can convince them, if they have, if they can, support me financially so you can become an SEO friend, and then you pay 100 euros a year. I think that the real value is in an active and engaged community, online and offline. But you need to generate something for the money you give. And now I organize master classes every week. You get job opportunities for freelancers 2 days earlier than the rest of the community. You get discount codes for the conferences. It needs to be a no-brainer. The community needs to feel that I make money on their shoulders.
Yeah.
So the rate is very low for 100 euros a year, every week a masterclass.
Of course, yeah.
You can't compete with that, I guess.
No, 100%. I also want to say something, just because I'm listening to you speak and I've heard this discussion a few times, and I want to give my two cents on it, using your platform, of course. So when Arish from the Women in Tech SEO community went full-time into building the community, she was able to invest more in it, make it better, hire a team.
Yeah.
Same with you, right?
Yeah.
You are able to quit your job and actually focus on building this community, and I'm sure you've seen that effect.
It's growing,
exactly,
it works.
Right? So I don't think there's anything wrong with the founder of the community or someone within a team to take a salary from what they're doing. I'm certainly not at that point. That's not really the career option that I see for myself doing. But I would love to have someone full-time focusing on the community and, you know, looking after it like it's their baby, like you are doing, like Arish is doing, like her team is doing, right? That's the goal, because that way you can actually invest more into hearing what people want, giving them exactly what they need for your community. It might be freelancing opportunities, it might be master classes. For my community, it might be something completely different, but you're not able to fully invest in it unless you're fully invested in it, right?
Yeah, true.
So I think with regards to like the financial aspect, we should pivot our focus not in feeling guilty like, oh, I quit my job and then I invested, you know, time and effort into this, but more about look at what we have achieved with, you know, for our members result of this, right? Yeah. So there's nothing wrong in that. Yeah. So I just want to make it, the clarification to anyone watching that there's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with it if it helps the community grow, if it helps the members develop and everything. So true. I think you've done a wonderful job and that's a great decision if you are enjoying
it. Dennis, we had a lunch yesterday and Dennis asked me, what is your goal as an entrepreneur? Yeah. And I said, I'm every day happy.
Yeah, that's
so I achieved my goal, I guess.
That's most important.
And I'm sure it shows for everyone within the community that you're doing this with so much passion that it's like, yeah, why wouldn't you do this full time? Yeah. Like, it doesn't make sense for you to do anything else.
Yeah. So I think we can learn a lot from each other. We have to start more conversations when you have the time.
Absolutely.
But you're our mom now, so I can fully understand. And you built a beautiful course. I'm sure I will enroll it once it's finished.
So maybe I should do it. So always at the end of the podcast, we ask people what their biggest SEO fuck up is.
Right.
But
okay.
Maybe I can ask it to the two of you. What's the biggest community building fuck up?
Oh, I'm not sure if there are fuck ups. You can validate very fast. That's nice because you have an audience.
Yeah.
So most of the things go wrong because they don't generate value for the community.
Yes.
But after 10 or 15 proof of concepts, you found one thing that can go viral, for example. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think you don't make fuck ups, but you can very fast learn from the mistakes you make within a community, and that's very cool if you like to innovate.
Yeah. Just one thing to say. I mean, I'll try to keep it short. Like, I started the ML for SEO community just because ML for SEO, the academy, also has a Slack where I'm, you know, sharing news and all of that stuff. So I started this at the same time and as the woman in marketing community. So obviously very two different target audiences and so on. What you're saying about quick validation and all of that, 100%, that is true. True for both, right? For the in-person events, nothing has ever humbled me as much as trying to organize in-person events in my entire marketing career. So I do come after every single event, and I do have a background in hospitality, and that's why maybe I'm super type A about the stuff related to food, drinks, and hospitality in general. But I do come after every event with like just the night of the event, once it passes, a list of things that need to be better for the next one. I just like take it out of my brain.
Yeah.
And this is now a to-do list for every event that is like 150 items long. And it has things that are super specific, like making sure that the food has labels on whether it's gluten-free or vegetarian.
Yeah.
Or it can be something super general, like making sure the speakers are actually asked whether they need any accommodations beforehand or whatever else it may be. So my biggest tip to avoid the fuck-ups is to actually have like a repeatable thing that you go through to ensure that each one is better than the next one. But fuck-ups will always happen.
Yeah, true. Maybe, to close, before we close, maybe I have a good fuck-up. I just started with meetups and I asked a few companies randomly for sponsor money.
Oh.
And then it worked, the first few meetups, and it was growing.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the third or the fourth meetup, somebody said to me, who are the sponsors? And then I thought, oh shit, I have to do something here. Because the amount they paid was not so much, but enough to get something back of it.
Yeah, of course,
and I totally forgot it.
Of course.
But now I know how important it is.
Of course,
and it generates more sponsorship for another meetup. So I learned from it.
Of course.
Cool.
Good one.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thanks.
And
thanks,
hopefully see you around.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Shall we make a picture?
Yeah, of course.